We are in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're starting a six-week series. The name of it is Finding Meaning, Wisdom from Ecclesiastes. Everybody, whether they want to admit it or not, and people do it in different ways, but they look for meaning in life. Some people will say, unless you have something to pursue, unless you have a goal, unless you have something you want to achieve, life lacks purpose. And I guess if you frame that in a biblical way, I would agree with that. Every single person ought to pursue a relationship with God. Now, we don't get that relationship by anything that we do. We get that relationship by what Jesus did for us. And what we have to do is receive what Christ did for us on Calvary. But the challenge is, especially those that live under the sun, and that's a phrase we're going to see, under the sun, especially those that live here, they strive and spend much of their life trying to find purpose and meaning in life in things of the world, and there is none. We were not, listen, we were not made for this world. This world was made for us. We were made in the image of God to have a relationship with Him, to be one of His children, and this world is just our temporary home, okay? I mean, it's a wonderful place, and God has blessed us with the place that He's given us to live, but we're only going to be here a short time. We were made for eternity, and it's only when we look at life from above the sun, so to speak, only when we look at life from God's perspective that we can find the purpose and meaning that God wants for us to have in life. Now, again, it's very easy, it's convenient, however you want to say it, it's natural for us to look at things that are all around us and say, well, meaning in life must come from these things. I mean, they're the things in front of us. But it's only when we exercise the faith that God has put in us, that we get that relationship with Him through Christ, that we realize truly how He wants us to live. And the plan that He has for us to live. I mean, this has been His plan before the foundation of the world. I mean, that's why Jesus is talked about as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God has had a plan. And again, this just overwhelms me if I just let it get to the bottom of my heart and soul. This overwhelms me. God had a plan for me as an individual. God, I mean the one that spoke everything into existence, has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life, a detailed plan. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think it would be a wonderful thing. We're going to have all eternity for God to sit down with each one of us and say, let me just show you how I had everything planned. Now, there's going to be, he'll have to say, now you sort of got off the plan here, and I had to sort of slap you a little bit to get you back on the plan. But I think it'd be a wonderful thing for us to just be able to sit down with God and for Him to go through, this is it. This is how I planned your life. And again, we're creatures of free will. He doesn't force us into a mold, but He does have a plan for our life, and he manages the circumstances. He opens doors, He closes doors, to get us to live by that plan. So six lessons in the series, Finding Wisdom. We start this morning when life feels empty, and the point of the lesson is life without Christ is meaningless. So again, this is going to be sort of a down lesson this morning because Solomon is setting the stage. He's going to say, when we try to live our life without Christ, when we try to live our life without God, there's no meaning to it. Next week, we're going to start next week, and for the next 4 weeks, the lessons are the problem with pleasure. Pleasure and possessions don't offer lasting joy. The problem with wisdom. Wisdom is grounded in trusting God. The problem with work. Our work gains meaning only when it's done to honor Christ. The problem with wealth, contentment comes from Christ, not our wealth. Okay? And then the last lesson number six, is entitled Full Contentment. And again, we'll be in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, where Solomon says, hey, here's the conclusion of the whole thing. Fear God and keep his commandments. Okay? Now, world offers a lot of things that promises, hey, security, happiness, a sense of well-being. Problem is, when we put the things of the world to the test, when we try to find those things in the things of the world, they don't live up to their promises. They fail to deliver what they promise. And we're left with a sense of futility. Solomon discovered that centuries ago. And again, that's what he's going to talk about it. That's what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about those things that he said, I've tried them. And we're going to mention this morning, he had the resources to try them. I mean, he was the king. He had everything that he needed to try pleasure, to try wealth, to try honor, to try wisdom. And he tried each one. And he says, this doesn't satisfy. This doesn't give life meaning. The book of Ecclesiastes is called wisdom literature. Okay, wisdom literature. It's Bible literature that helps readers in their struggle with the practical and philosophical issues of life. Okay, finding meaning is a philosophical issue of life. But the things that we do in our life are practical. Solomon's going to talk about both of them. Now, again, he wrote most of the Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs is on a different level. Proverbs is, you know, is phrases, is truth in nuggets, okay? In the book of Ecclesiastes, he wants us to think more. He wants us to share his experiences. And from those experiences come to the same conclusion that he did. Nothing in this world can satisfy. Nothing in this world can give us meaning. So, again, we start this morning, when life feels empty. Life without Christ is meaningless. 3 points to the lesson. Without Christ, what we do in life can feel pointless. Without Christ, what we do in life doesn't satisfy. And then number three, without Christ, what we do in life is a miserable task. Okay? So, chapter one, book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So right there in the wisdom books. Chapter 1, first passage of scriptures, verses 1 through 7. Here's what it says. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanities of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. So, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the author is not named. Okay? But in verse 1 of chapter 1, he hints at who he is. Okay? He says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Okay, so the words, they mean this collection of words that this writer wrote. I mean, that's what words mean. The preacher comes from a word that means to assemble or gather. In other parts of the Bible, the same Hebrew word is translated teacher. But the picture that it calls to mind is somebody that gathers a group together to share truth with them, to share wisdom and instruction with them. The vast majority of Bible scholars think the preacher who wrote these words in Ecclesiastes is Solomon. He was the son of David, who David appointed king to take over after him. He ruled Israel as a united kingdom. Again, it was after Solomon that, you know, the Boehm brothers, they weren't really brothers, but Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the kingdom split, but he was the king of all of Israel. And there are other things in the book that fit in with Solomon's life. So again, the vast majority believe that it was Solomon that God used to write the book of Ecclesiastes. All right? And the book starts with a very discouraging message. Okay? Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. That word vanity means emptiness. It comes from a Hebrew word that actually means breath or vapor. Okay? Something, a breath doesn't last very long. A vapor is quickly dissipated. So when he's saying vanity, he's saying something that is vain, is futile, because it doesn't last very long. It's very transitory in nature. And when he says vanity of vanities, it's like saying Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's saying it's really meaningless. It's truly meaningless. And so you could say it, meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. So that's how he starts this book. And he says all, not just a few things, not just some things, but all things. Now again, he's going to spell it out for us throughout the rest of the book. Possessions, having possessions is meaningless. Having honor is meaningless. The work that we do is meaningless. And again, you got to keep it in the context. Okay? Keep it in the context of what the preacher is trying to do. He's laying the stage to make the point that without God, without Christ, everything that we do in this life doesn't mean something. That doesn't mean anything. Now, in Christ, work can have meaning. In Christ, possessions can have meaning. In Christ, the honor that we gain has meaning, but only in Him and used the way that He wants them used. Okay? So that's his introduction. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. All is worthless. All is meaningless. And then he goes on to take that introduction and lay the foundation. He's going to say, hey, life is brief. It's brief. And everything that we think we may desire, everything we see in the earth that we may desire, doesn't really mean anything. Okay? And meaning is not found in our efforts and in the things that we collect. And again, he's not going to tell us till we get to the very end. And so I would encourage you, don't get discouraged this morning. You know the end of the story. You know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. But Solomon is trying to convince us, hey, I've tried it all. I truly have tried. And he can say, I've tried it to a greater degree than most of you will be able to try. And I'll tell you how it all comes out. There's nothing in this world that has meaning. It's only God. Only God. So, the question they ask in chapter 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is implied. Nothing. What profit hath a man of all his labor? Nothing. Labor is work. It's the efforts that we put forth to gather things that will benefit the future. Okay? Profit is the meaning that we know. It's the gain that you make. I mean, you take what you spend and you subtract that from what you make, and that's profit. Now, again, it's more than just money. Solomon would include in this the emotional benefit that we would get from engaging in honest work. Okay? He would include the sense of satisfaction and joy and learning that we get from a job well done. And again, those things, even if we work apart from Christ, those things may provide those things for a while, but what Solomon says, they don't last. They don't last. So of all his labor under the sun. And again, we're going to see this over and over. Solomon's talking about a person's life. Not just one occurrence, but he's talking about all life that's lived on this earth under the sun. Okay? And then in the next few verses, he makes the point that life has a monotonous cycle to it. Okay? He says, one generation passeth away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The earth has been here since creation. But people come and people go. It's been that way for all of history. You know, people today, and my daughter-in-law has been involved in this recently. We're intrigued by our family history, okay? We're intrigued about our ancestors. But what Solomon's saying here, no generation endures forever. Life is temporary. I mean, even the oldest person. I read about a person a couple of weeks ago that was 118 years old. But you know what? She died. Even the oldest person that lives eventually die. And so Solomon's saying, life is temporary. One generation comes, then it dies, and then the next generation comes. That generation dies, and then the next generation comes. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it will continue to be until the earth ends. Nature, he says, has similar cycles, and he gives us three of them. Says the sun comes up and the sun goes down. Now, of course, we know that the sun doesn't actually move. I mean, you know, the earth rotates and that appears like the sun is rising and the sun goes down. But, you know, from our perspective, from Solomon's perspective, the sun came up every morning, came up in the east. I'm sure, you know, we know living in Michigan, there's some days it's so cloudy we can't see the sun. But we know, even though we can't see it, it has come up. And we know at night it's going to go down in the western sky. Has been that way since God made the sun and the moon on the fourth day of creation. And will be that way again until the earth ends. The wind has a cycle. The wind goeth toward the south and turneth about unto the north. So the southerly wind blows. If it blows south long enough, pretty soon it'll compass the earth and start going north. Or at any time, it can change its mind. Instead of blowing south, it can blow north. Solomon says, it whirleth about continually and returneth again according to its circles. So it blows and it blows and it whirls, round and around it goes. But it always comes back to where it started. There's a cycle. All the rivers, he says, run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. You go down to the Gulf of Mexico from the fifth day of creation. Third day of creation. I don't know, I'm getting confused. Whenever God made the earth, probably the second day of creation. It's one of those days, one of those 6 days. He made the earth. He made the rivers. He made the Mississippi River. And since then, it has flowed into the Gulf of Mexico. And yet the Gulf of Mexico never gets full. I mean, the water's been flowing, you know, 7,000 years or however old the earth is. It's been flowing down the what we know as the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico. And yet the Gulf of Mexico never gets full. You go back to Minnesota. You go back to where the river starts, and those little streams and rivulets that feed the Mississippi that at its beginning are still flowing into the head of the Mississippi. And, you know, we know the process, how, you know, water evaporates and then condenses and comes back as rain. Where the water starts, that's where it ends up. And it's this cycle. Solomon says it's this cycle. Now, we take comfort in the cycle. I mean, we really do. I mean, there's some stability in knowing that the sun's going to come up every morning. And there's some stability in knowing that it's going to set every night. And so we take comfort in the fact that nature is well-ordered. We get uncomfortable when nature gets out of order and, you know, the wind blows more than it's supposed to blow and different things like that. But that's not the point that Solomon's making. He said, I'm not trying to remind you of the comfort that you have because nature is cyclical and nature repeats itself. What I'm trying to get you to see that if you're not careful, we as mankind can get caught up in the endless cycle of life and we'll go in that cycle without meaning and without anything that provides eternal satisfaction. The author uses the example of the hamster. It was in the student book. Hamster is a nocturnal animal, and he gets in those little wheels, okay? And you got to keep them greased, or it's going to keep you awake at night, because he'll just run and run and run and run and get nowhere. And Solomon says, if we're not careful, that's how our life will be. We'll get on that treadmill, or we'll get in that little cage, and we'll run and run and run and run, and pretty soon, life is over. And we look back and say, what's the meaning of my life? What's my legacy? What's my purpose? And Solomon's point in laying this foundation is, if your life only consists of what's under the sun, in other words, what's on this earth, you won't find purpose and you won't find meaning. Not any that'll last. You may find some that'll last for a season. You may find some that'll last for a few years, but it doesn't last forever. Okay, let's go on to the next, verses 8 through 11. And again, the point of this part of the lesson is without Christ, the things we do in this life does not satisfy. All things, verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So again, he's continuing this theme of the cycles of life. And again, if we're only trying to understand life and the meaning of life of what's under the sun, he says it's wearisome. All things are full of labor. All things are full of weariness. Okay? It's weary to try to live life apart from God. He says man cannot utter it. Okay? Humanity, with all its intellect, even though we can't explain it, we have to accept as a certainty the cycle of life. People are born, then they die. I mean, that's the way it's going to happen. Okay? And apart from God, that has no meaning. Apart from eternity, that has no meaning. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, no matter how much a person sees. And again, the author talked about, you know, the wonders of nature that we can go and see. And Solomon is saying, no matter what you've seen in life or the events of life, it's not enough to be, your eye cannot get full. It can't get fulfilled. It can't find purpose. Nor the ears filled with hearing. Now, it's talking about more than just hearing sound. It's talking about hearing and understanding. Hearing and comprehending. Okay? No amount of hearing that we do can provide the answers that we need to find meaning, to find purpose. Okay? And again, in verse 9, he talks again about how life is a cycle. The thing that hath been is it that which shall be. What has been is what will be. And what is done today is that which shall be done in the future. Okay? He says, there is no new thing under the sun. Now, think about it. Now, we might disagree. You say, well, no, wait just a minute, preacher. There's a lot of new things, okay? Solomon didn't have a car. You're right. He had a chariot. Had a horse. I mean, the fact that man can be transported from point A to point B may be in a different means, but the fact that he's transported from A to B is the same. I mean, even before there were, even before they learned to ride horses, man could walk from A to B. He was still moving from A to B. The fact that you get into a car, or you get into an airplane, or you get into a submarine, or you get into, you know, on a bicycle. I mean, just name the various forms of transportation. Say, well, those are new. You know, they have been invented. Solomon didn't know about these things. But what Solomon was saying, no, moving from point A to point B, that's been around since the beginning of the earth. Man has moved. Yeah, and so the things that we use to move is just an extension and an enhancement of what's always been done. You might say, well, Solomon didn't have a computer. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have the cloud. All that's new. All that's something that somebody created new. Well, man has always been able to communicate. Man has always been able to store information. They have. One way or another, they've been able to communicate. They've been able to store information. A computer is just an enhancement of that. A computer is just an extension of that. Okay? And so he's saying, There is absolutely nothing new under the sun. What was done is what's being done today, and what's being done today is what's going to be done tomorrow. Now, again, it may be, you know, changed, enhanced, but it's the same thing. The fundamental elements of life don't change. They're constant. Each generation probably thinks they're experiencing something unique. But Solomon said, no, there is nothing unique. As it has been with those that have preceded us, so it will be with us. And as it is with us, so it will be with those that come after us. And then he says, there is no remembrance of former things. The present, what we know today, in a fleeting moment, will be the past. Okay, and before long, the past will be forgotten, and it'll fade from memory. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Those who come after us will soon forget what is so important to us today. So we study history. We study our genealogy. I mean, you know, some of you make family trees. And why do we do that? Why do we study history? Why do we study our past, our family in the past? Because we need to be prompted and we need help in remembering those things that have happened in the past and those that have come before us. But let me ask you, how many of you know what happened 100 years ago today? Anybody? Anybody remember what happened on March the 3rd, 2018? A year ago. Huh? No, I mean, we don't. We don't. And that's what Solomon's saying. Hey, it's going to all pass away. It's going to all pass away. I know my great-grandparents' names, but I don't know much about them. And I would like to think, you know, that when I pass off from this earth, my descendants are going to remember me, but at some point, they won't. I mean, I'll just be a name, maybe on a chart somewhere, but lasting fame, from most of us will never achieve it. And in the bottom line is, what difference does it make to me? I mean, I'm going to be in heaven. It's not going to make one bit of difference to me whether somebody remembers who I was or not. And so that's what Solomon was saying. He's painting this picture. And it's a terrible picture. I mean, it's pitiful and bleak and dismal. But again, he's trying to lay the foundation to make the point that life lived under the sun apart from God. That's the way it is. I mean, we're like the hamster in a cage, and we're going to run and run and run and run and run. And when we get to the end of our life, we're going to look back and say, what's the point? What's been the point? All right, quickly, the last three verses, verses 12 through 14. This part of the lesson, without Christ, what we do in life is a miserable task. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. So, in verse 12, he goes back and back to verse 1. I, the preacher, was king of Israel in Jerusalem. And don't get hung up on the word was. He's still king when he's writing this. And again, I think what he's doing is reminding his readers, reminding us, hey, I'm in a position, and I have ample resources. I have a position, I have possessions, I have power, I have popularity. I can use those things to try to find the meaning in life. I can use those things probably to a greater degree than anybody that's reading these words can use them. Now, again, there may be some people today that have a ton of money, but they certainly didn't have the power that Solomon had. Most of them don't have the prestige, the popularity that Solomon had. But he said, I'm in a position, and I have what I need. I can search out. I can look at the things of the world, and I can see, and God's given me wisdom. Okay? And God did give him wisdom. He was one of the wisest men that ever lived. And Solomon said, I'm going to use that wisdom to try to find meaning under the sun. And so he says, I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. So that word seek means to study or examine. That word search means to explore. And so he says, I gave my whole heart. I mean, this just wasn't something that was passing with me. It was an intense study. It was an intense search. I used all the resources that I had at my disposal. And I looked at all things that are done under heaven. Same thing as saying under the sun. I looked at all things that are done under this earth. And he says, I looked at it, and it's all sore travail. It's all sore travail. It's a heavy burden. It's an unhappy business. It's a miserable task. He said, all man's efforts under the sun, under the heavens, end up in nothing. Okay? It's fruitless. It's hopeless. Okay? Meaning and purpose for our lives is not found on this earth. In fact, Solomon says, God has given us this task to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. God has given us this miserable task to try to figure out from the things of the earth, how to find meaning and purpose just to keep us occupied. That's what he's saying. Be exercised thereby. And again, God knows we're not going to find it. Now again, Solomon is not blaming God. He's not faulting God. What he's saying is, look, God is sovereign. God is in control. And if man could figure out the meaning and purpose of life on his own, he wouldn't need God. If we could figure out the meaning and purpose of life on our own, we'd be our own gods. And so God has given us this miserable task, knowing that there's no answer, knowing that it's going to be a fruitless, hopeless, dismal search to remind us of how much we need him. How much we need him. He says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Now again, Solomon was in a position where he could see it all. I mean, he was the king of the world. He was wealthy beyond measure. Okay, he didn't even keep track of the silver because he had so much gold. Had horses. I mean, had it, you go back and you read in 2 Kings, and you go back and you read in Chronicles about the kingdom of Solomon. I mean, there was no richer king than he was. And so when he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, he's saying, I've seen it all. There is nothing that I have not experienced. There is nothing that I haven't tried. And here's what he says. Behold, all is vanity, emptiness, worthlessness, meaningless, and vexation of spirit. Now, that word vexation means feeding upon. It's longing for, striving for, gasping for. Okay? The word spirit means breath or wind. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. What he's saying is, everything I've seen under the earth is like chasing the wind. It's like chasing the wind. Now think about chasing the wind. If we could catch it, what would we do with it? We can't catch it. And so Solomon says, everything that's done on earth, it's like trying to catch the wind. That's what he uses to describe trying to find purpose and meaning in life apart from God. It's like chasing the wind. You're going to run and 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 run. And when you get to the end of that run, you're going to have nothing. You're going to absolutely have nothing. And the only way we're going to find purpose and meaning in life is in our Creator God. Only way. Only way. Now again, Solomon's not going to tell us that until we get to the end of the book. Okay? But we know the end of the book. So don't get discouraged as he describes life. Most of us here this morning don't live that kind of life because we're in Christ. We have a new life in Christ, as we sung about a moment ago. He's made all things new. He's given us meaning. He's given us purpose. And we can live that abundant life in him with heaven to look forward to because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, because of what God sent his son to do on Mount Golgotha, to die for our sins so that we can have a relationship with him. All right, thank you for being here this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for your word. I pray that as we study the book of Ecclesiastes, we would again sharpen our understanding of what really does provide meaning and purpose in our life. It's not the things of this world. It's the things of you. It's you. And so I pray that you draw us closer to you through this study, that we would hold less tightly to the things of the world, that we'd put our perspective on heavenly things and look to you as we're drawn closer to you. Bless us as we go into the service. I pray you'll be in charge of every part of it, every song that's sung, every prayer that's prayed, every scripture that's read, every word that's said. I pray that it would bring honor and glory to your Son. And again, I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, before we get done this morning, help them to make that decision to come to Jesus. For it's in his blessed name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for being here for Sunday School.